VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from John Russell and Alice Bryant. Later, Kelly Jean Kelly will present America's Presidents. But first, American Brandon Mitchell had big plans for this summer. He planned to travel from his home in Maine to visit relatives in Michigan. He also wanted to take his wife and three children to Walt Disney World in Florida. But the coronavirus pandemic changed those plans. So he and the family bought a boat instead. "We're going to take to the sea. There's so much to explore," Mitchell said. "It'll get us the recreation and the escape that we're not going to be able to get anywhere else." A growing number of Americans like Mitchell are looking to the water during the coronavirus pandemic. And that is good news for the boat industry. From Maine to California, boat dealers are reporting a record number of sales. Boat sales began rising in the spring in warm weather states before expanding to other parts of the country, like Maine and Minnesota. Ports and boat repair shops are flooded by the wave of interest. There are also waiting lists for slips, places to keep boats at ports. Matt Groon is with the Marine Retailers Association of the Americas, an industry group. He told the Associated Press that a recent study showed more than 70% of boat dealers were either completely out of boats or had very few left. The reason is simple. People are looking for something to do and a safe place to go at a time when COVID-19 has raised safety concerns. Oceans and lakes are good places for people to socially distance while having fun at the same time. "I've never seen anything like this," said Rob Sousey from Port Harbor Marine, a business which describes itself as Maine's biggest boat dealer. "Since the end of April, we've seen boat sales at historic levels." At one point, requests for boats from his company were up 300 to 400%. Sousey said he expects to sell about 1,000 boats this year. That is about 200 more boats than usual. "It's like wildfire. People are searching for ways to get on the water," said Tracy Coughlin from the Yarmouth Boat Yard, also in Maine. Coughlin said sales are up 65% at Yarmouth Boat Yard and a sister company, Moose Landing Marina, in Naples, Maine. She added that the single biggest month for sales growth has been June, when sales increased 85%. Boats come in all sizes, shapes, and prices. A new aluminum fishing boat with an outboard engine might cost $10,500, while a 13-meter-long cruiser could cost up to $900,000. But with vacation travel canceled and other activities on hold, many people are ready to escape on the water. Chris DeMillo is president and founder of DeMillo's Yacht Sales in Portland, Maine. He told the Associated Press, "Our inventory in the market in general is as thin as I've seen. We're getting calls from people who said they'd never buy a boat, and now they're buying boats." In Southern California, sales are up 40-50% at Marina Del Rey Yacht Sales near Los Angeles and the Long Beach Yacht Center, said owner Steve Curran. "I've been in the business for 50 years, so I've seen lots of ups and downs. I certainly was not expecting this," he said. But with all the new boaters, there are safety concerns that do not directly come from the coronavirus. The United States Coast Guard advises safety classes for new boaters. But in-person training has been hard to find this summer because of the pandemic. Some boaters have discovered safety classes online. Chris Edmondson is president of the Boat U.S. Foundation for Boating Safety and Clean Water in Annapolis, Maryland. He said, "We want people to be out on the water enjoying themselves, but everyone has to take into account safety." Boating is a nice activity for those who had to cancel other activities, such as missed summer camps, sports programs, or other events. Boating gives families a chance to get away from land, remove face masks, and enjoy themselves.
An 11-year-old boy in the American state of Rhode Island recently discovered an unusual example of sea life. He found what is thought to be one of the largest quahogs ever found in the state. Quahogs are a kind of large clam that is eaten as food. Cooper Monaco was looking for clams with his grandfather when he found the large creature. Monaco gave it to the University of Rhode Island's Marine Science Research Facility in Narragansett, the university said in a recent statement. The clam is 14.5 centimeters across and weighs nearly 1.3 kilograms. The Department of Environmental Management for the state does not keep quahog records. But a usual quahog grows to about 10 centimeters across, the university said. Monaco described how he found the creature in a statement. "I was down on my hands and knees in the water looking for clams, and I touched this huge rock thing," he said. Monaco added, "I always pull out rocks and throw them to the side and look under them. And then I felt the edge of it, and I thought, 'Holy moly, this is a clam!'" Holy moly is an expression that shows surprise. Monaco knew the quahog was unusually large, so he told his mother not to cook it. Ed Baker, the manager of the URI Marine Science Research Facility, plans to put the quahog on display. I'm John Russell.
Students at a small boarding school in California got an unusual request this summer. Come back in the autumn with your own chair, a sun hat, and plenty of sunblock. Moving classes outdoors is a central piece of Midland School's plan to get its 85 students back to in-person classes. By holding classes outdoors, the school hopes to avoid spreading the coronavirus. It will not be a huge change for Midland students. They already grow much of the food they eat in the school's garden. They also heat water for their showers by lighting a fire. And they hike through the school's 1,157 hectares of land. The school hopes students will be tested for COVID-19 and will stay home as much as possible before coming back to the grounds in Los Olivos. The town is about 200 kilometers northwest of Los Angeles. Christopher Barnes is Midland's head of school. He told the Reuters news agency that he tells the students they are creating a special year. Don't expect it to be like any other. Midland's return to school has been delayed until the middle of September. Governor Gavin Newsom has barred counties in the state with rising virus cases from restarting in-person classes. Cases continue to rise across California. Barnes is prepared to further delay the autumn term or hold classes online if needed. He knows that Midland is in a better position than many other schools. Although almost half of the students receive financial aid, the full cost of attendance is over $62,000 a year. The school puts a lot into each student and has very small classes, one teacher for every four students. That means a high-quality education as well as great health benefits, Barnes noted. President Donald Trump has pushed for schools nationally to reopen in the fall. It is a move he sees as central to economic recovery. It also is seen as a way to help Trump's re-election chances in November. But school districts in Los Angeles and San Diego have said classes will return with online teaching only in August. The districts note the sharp rise in coronavirus infection rates in California. Barnes hopes the small community in Midland will help create a coronavirus-free place. He knows boarding school environments have their own health safety concerns. For example, students are used to eating meals together and sharing bathrooms. Across the country, boarding schools are quickly making changes to get students back to in-person classes while keeping them safe. The Association of Boarding Schools represents around 200 nonprofit U.S. schools with a total of 90,000 students. Half of those students are boarders. Meera Viswanathan is head of school at the Ethel Walker School in Connecticut. She told Reuters that the school is buying tents and outdoor chairs so students can have some classes outdoors. Deerfield Academy in Massachusetts is one of the country's oldest boarding schools. It is making changes so that every student will have a single room. It is also remodeling a building where students can quarantine if necessary. Head of school John Austin said, At Midland, roommates will become like family members for the purposes of social distancing and wearing face coverings. And the school plans to cancel the usual October break to limit students' exposure to the virus away from school grounds. Parents will be able to visit to see their child and join them on hikes, but they will not be permitted in some areas. Melia Collard will begin her final year at Midland in the autumn. She said she is happy to return to school, but she worries that all of the restrictions could be emotionally hard on new students. Missing home is already hard when you know you will see your parents in 6 weeks, Collard said. But for a few months, that's going to be really, really difficult. This fall, Raymond Carr will begin his final year as a student at Midland. He knows his last year in school may not be the way he had hoped. There were a lot of things that I wanted to do as a senior that now I don't know if I'm going to be able to do, Carr said. So the fact that I still have the outdoors and I haven't really explored it is what I'm really holding on to. I'm Alice Bryant.
VOA Learning English presents America's Presidents. Today we are talking about Ronald Reagan. He was president for 2 terms and served from 1981 to 1989. Before that, he was the governor of California, worked as an actor, and led a labor union. As president, Reagan is credited for changing the direction of the country. He tried to establish a feeling of confidence in the American people. Although not everyone profited equally from his policies, the president rarely suffered in public opinion polls. Reagan was called the Great Communicator because he was able to connect with many Americans and to speak persuasively about conservative values. He is remembered warmly by many Republican Party politicians and voters especially. Ronald Reagan is often linked to California and the American West, but he was born and raised in Illinois, in the center of the United States. His father sold shoes, and his mother mostly took care of Ronald and his older brother, Neil. The entire family supported the Democratic Party, especially President Franklin Roosevelt. While the boys were growing up, the Reagans did not have much money, and the father suffered from alcoholism. But Ronald was energetic and took part in many activities. He played football and basketball, ran on the track team, swam, acted in plays, led student groups, wrote for school newspapers and yearbooks, and worked several jobs to help pay for his education and support his parents. He attended Eureka College in Illinois and completed his studies in 1932. One of his first jobs out of college was as a sports announcer for a radio station. He had an appealing voice and a natural way of talking that was a good fit for radio. Reagan was also good-looking and a dependable worker. In time, he was offered a chance to act in movies and moved to California. During his acting career, Reagan made more than 50 films. He also married actress Jane Wyman and had two children with her. But after several years, the relationship ended. Their marriage ended in divorce. 4 years later, Reagan married another actress. Her name was Anne Robbins, but she was called Nancy Davis. They also had two children. As he was starting his second family, Reagan began another part of his career. He served as host of a popular television series about the American West. He also became president of a labor union, the Screen Actors Guild. It represented actors, announcers, and others working in the film and television industry. During that time, Reagan's political beliefs changed. He increasingly supported conservative ideas. During public appearances, he often spoke in support of business interests. He also expressed concern that the federal government was limiting Americans' freedom. The message was well received by many Americans. Although the Democratic Party was in power for most of the 1960s, a number of Americans were becoming increasingly conservative. Reagan won national recognition in 1966 when he successfully ran for governor of California as a Republican. In 1970, voters re-elected him to the position. But Reagan had set his sights on the presidency. He sought the Republican nomination in both 1968 and 1976. Finally, in 1980, he won the office. By that time, he had already had several careers, as well as a long life. At age 69, he was the oldest person until then to be elected president. When Reagan took office, he made improving the U.S. economy his highest concern. One way to do that, he believed, was to reduce the influence of the federal government. He wanted especially to cut some of the government programs that former President Lyndon Johnson had put in place to help poor people. Reagan believed that cutting taxes, especially on big businesses, would help strengthen the economy and in time help everyone. In a speech after taking office, Reagan noted that government is not the solution to our problem, government is the problem. At first, the economy continued to struggle, but in a few years, Reagan's policies appeared to work. Unemployment dropped, the stock market rose, and many industries grew quickly. Americans often remember Reagan's presidency as a time of economic growth. Not everyone benefited equally, however. Reagan's critics observed that his policies largely helped people who were already wealthy. The divide between rich and middle-class Americans increased during Reagan's presidency. And Reagan did not reduce government spending in all areas. In fact, he sharply increased military spending. One result was a large national debt. Another result, Reagan supporters say, was a quicker end to the Cold War. One of Reagan's major foreign policy goals was to end the standoff with the Soviet Union. He believed that building up the U.S. military was the best way to pressure the Soviets to reach an agreement on arms control. Reagan also spoke out strongly against communism. In his second term, he famously appealed to the new Soviet leader, Mikhail Gorbachev, to tear down the Berlin Wall. For some, the wall was a sign of communism. Many historians say Reagan's policies worked. For sure, Reagan and Gorbachev improved relations between their countries. And in time, the Soviet leadership permitted the Berlin Wall to come down. In addition to the economy and the Cold War, Reagan is often remembered for his likable personality. He spoke easily with the public, often had a positive message about the country, and usually appeared cheerful. He won even more public approval after a man with mental problems tried to kill him. The bullets seriously injured several people nearby and just missed Reagan's heart. Yet, shortly after he was shot, the president joked with his wife and with his doctors. Opinion polls showed that the recovered president was more popular than ever. Reagan's political image also survived a scandal known as Iran-Contra. In brief, Congress found that a number of government officials secretly sold U.S. weapons to Iran as part of a deal to free hostages. Then, the officials used some of the money to help rebels in Nicaragua. The actions violated congressional rules. They also challenged Reagan's promise that he had not traded weapons for hostages. The president apologized for any part he had played in the events. Polls showed that, in general, the American public accepted his apology and continued to trust him. Unlike most U.S. presidents, who lose public support during their terms, Reagan finished his time in office as he had taken it, with the support of more than half of Americans. Reagan retired to his home in California with his wife, Nancy. For several years, he wrote about his life and helped organize his presidential library. But in a few years, the former president announced that he suffered from Alzheimer's. The disease affects people's ability to think, remember, and express themselves. Soon, Reagan disappeared from public life. He died in 2004. But he is well remembered as an able politician who could work effectively with many people. He is also remembered, by both supporters and critics, for being a powerful voice for conservative ideas and traditional values. His influence extended beyond his two terms. Later generations of leaders and voters called themselves Reagan Republicans. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.